whispering in the air like it's an approaching storm. The hair on your arms will stand up, Chas Gorda promised. Josh checked his forearms. Nothing. And tugged at his fluorescent orange vest. He approached the plane to help Carlo unload the luggage. Josh's father, Tom Flynn, would be at a computer terminal 5 stories above Josh's head, occasionally spying out the window to make sure Josh was doing what he called a decent job. Being under surveillance like this provided as unsettling a work situation as Josh could imagine. And so, in the 2 weeks he'd been at it, he'd learned to sniff for stories without giving himself away. 2 of the women stood on the tarmac. Josh could tell they were sisters. Sister 1 was very thin with long, light brown hair that blew all over the place in the breeze. She had a pointy nose, blue eyes, and she was visibly unhappy. Her forehead was as scrunched and wrinkled as one of those funny Chinese dogs. Sister 2 had the same blue eyes, the same sharp nose, but instead of scowling, Sister 2's face conveyed baffled sadness. She blinked a lot, like she was about to cry. She was heavier than her sister, and her hair, cut bluntly to her shoulders, was a Scandinavian blonde. She carried a floral print bag bursting with diapers and a colorful set of plastic keys. She was taking deep, exaggerated breaths, as though the flight had just scared her to death. The 3rd woman teetered at the top of the steps with a baby in her arms and a little boy of about 4 peeking around her legs. She had a pretty, round face and corkscrew curls that peeked out from underneath a straw hat. She was wearing jeans with muddy knees and a pair of rubber clogs. The sisters waited at the bottom of the stairs for this 3rd woman to descend. Heavy breathing sister reached out for the baby, shaking the keys. "Come to Mama," she said. "Here, Melanie, I'll take him." In addition to the baby, Straw Hat held a package of Cheez-Its, a green plastic cup, and an air sickness bag. She was 2 steps from the ground when the little boy behind her shouted, "Auntie Brenda, here I come!" and jumped. He was aiming for Scowling Sister, but in his excitement, he hurtled his 40-some-pound body into the back of Straw Hat, who went sprawling onto the tarmac with the baby. Josh bolted forward, though he knew he wouldn't be quick enough to save anyone. Straw Hat covered the baby's head with her hands and took the brunt of the fall on her knees and her left arm. Ouch. "Melanie," Heavy Breathing Sister cried. She dropped the diaper bag and raced toward Straw Hat. The baby wasn't making any noise. Neck broken. Dead. Josh felt his spirit trickle onto the tarmac as though he'd wet his pants. But then, a cry. The baby had merely been sucking in air, released now in heroic tones. The baby was alive. Heavy Breathing Sister took the baby and studied him for obvious injury, then shushed him against her shoulder. Scowling Sister approached with the perpetrator of the crime, older brother, clinging to her legs. "Is the baby okay?" Scowling Sister asked. Her expression shifted from impatient to impatient and concerned. "He's fine," Heavy Breathing Sister said. "Just scared." She reached out to Straw Hat. "Are you okay, Melanie? Are you okay? Do you feel okay?" Melanie dusted the tarmac grit off her face. There was a scrape on her elbow, some blood. The Cheez-Its blew off down the runway. The plastic cup rolled to Josh's feet. He picked it up and the air sickness bag as well. "Would you like me to get a first aid kit?" he asked Melanie. She put a hand to her cheek and the other hand massaged her stomach. "Oh, no. Thank you, though. I'm fine." "Are you sure?" Heavy Breathing Sister said. "What about I'm fine?" Melanie said. "Blaine will apologize," Heavy Breathing Sister said. "Apologize, Blaine."